It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
See, is everything locked in, loaded? I feel like I see less of myself and more of you, which is the goal.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series, the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, actor Travis Van Winkle. We're going to be talking about FUBAR on Netflix. This is the, it of course, stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and a great cast of comedians. We're going to be talking about all that. Travis is going to talk about the dysfunctional family of CIA agents that make up the series, the most absurd parts of his own character, and, of course, what it's like to work with Arnold. Travis will go on to talk about his work building schools in impoverished countries, what got him into volunteering and service, and celebrating his 40th birthday by wrestling in Senegal. We also get to hear what his action movie walk-up song would be. Hints, it's by Pearl Jam and another by Whitney Houston, or sang by Whitney Houston. He sings a Gordon Lightfoot song in one of the episodes. I want to ask about that. And he'll tell us about crying when Pearl Jam got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. All that and more. We're talking FUBAR on Netflix. It's Kyle Meredith with Travis Van Winkle.
Hey, hey. Thanks for having me, Kyle.
It's great to meet you. And I should just say, I didn't know what to expect on FUBAR, right? You got Arnold Schwarzenegger, you got TV. I'm thinking it's going to be a big action thing. And it is, but it's hilarious all the way through. And I honestly did. I mean, it's so much fun to watch this series. You know, I guess, what do? You said, congratulations on this.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. You know, when I first read the pilot, it was one of those things where it got me. I love the humor because the action's there. It's Arnold, you know, there's going to be action, but the humor was something that really, really caught my attention. And as the scripts kept coming in before we filmed, they give you all the scripts, and it was just blew me away at the ridiculousness of these dynamics, these relationships that we have. We're a big dysfunctional family trying to save the world. And it is just, it's ridiculous, but it's also, you know, it's also heartfelt too. So it kind of touches all the bases, and I feel like it's a really fast 8 episodes. I'm excited for people to see it.
Now, did you know the character that you were, you know, going for right at the beginning? Because this guy with the nickname Pooh Bear and lines like, "I'm really, really good at intercourse."
Yeah, well, I told the showrunner, Nick Santoro, that I wanted to let everyone know that I was good at intercourse, and he needed to add that in there somewhere. So thanks, Nick. No, I think, you know, this character for me, he kind of he I feel like he was a lot of fun to play because he's a really smart guy and he is incredibly savvy at what he does. He's got this great dynamic with Rue or Fortune Themester, which is so much fun. That's the dynamic that really sold me. But then the underbelly of this guy, there's a lot going on under there. He comes from, you know, he's battling his own things. And I think as we're going through the process of solving, you know, the world's problems and the pressure's high, all of our problems come out. And it's just, I feel like I was really inspired to want to play Alden because of, you know, he's layered and you don't necessarily see that right out of the gate. And I love the slow drip. I love the slow release of that throughout the season. So for me, I like when people will tell me like, oh, you know, I thought you were this, and then you got me. So for me, there's a lot of joy in that.
I mean, it's a journey you get to go on, which I think, you know, any actor would hope for in their character. But for the hijinks that do happen on the way there, I mean, what was it? Is it an ass in your face? Is it a crotch in your face? I forget what it is, but like all of these moments in there, like, you know, again, you know what you're signing up for when these things happen, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, what was it? Dick in my mouth? Oh, dick in my mouth, dick in my mouth, or
That's
dick in
it.
my face. Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's such a fun show. And the writing was just really fantastic. And to work with Arnold, I mean, come on. Arnold is a legend, an icon, and someone that I have known my whole life. And so to be able to work side by side with him was really special.
So what is that? I mean, you know, you're signing up, you're going to work with Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is this what the first time he's ever done a TV series? Is that right?
Yeah, first TV show. Actually, first TV series, but he actually was on I Love Lucy. Lucille Ball gave him his start. So
Is that right? I didn't
she
know
was a bit
that.
of a mentor for him. I listened to his book on tape before we filmed. I would be in the gym listening to his book and just like pumping up so that I could be ready. But yeah, she brought him in as a masseuse, as an Austrian masseuse. And that was his first gig. But this is his first real TV series.
Yeah, that's incredible. I did not know that. But also, it says so much that you're preparing for this by listening to his story. Like I guess there's prepping for the show, but you're like, I mean, because that's it. Like you have certain people, right? There's certain people in any profession and in this profession that's just a bit more elevated. And everybody's a human, sure, but you know, as far as stars go, you know, they don't quite have movie stars in the same way, maybe that, you know, when he arrived on it. So is that part of it? Are you internalizing a little bit on that side of things?
Because he's more than just a movie star. You know, he's someone, for me, he is the paragon of self-belief, of vision, of execution. He's able to manifest so much in his life, basically everything that he's wanted. To me, he represents more than just an actor. You know, he is, you know, excellence personified when it comes to achievement. And I think for me to be able to work alongside of him, I mean, it's a dream come true. And for me, listening to his book on tape, I just wanted to understand him more so that when we had the opportunity to speak, I just had more ammo, you know, to just play around with. And I learned a lot about him. He did some incredible things. He's the reason the Hummer is even on the road today, you know. And so to talk about him, he just saw this Hummer and he's like, oh, I want to drive that thing around. And basically he reached out to Dick Cheney and Bush. And they connected him to GM or whatever the car company is. They crafted basically a car just for him. He was driving it around. It caught so much attention that they had to make more. He doesn't have any money invested in that. Like, this is just what he wanted, and that's what he got. And it ended up inspiring, you know. It's just wild the impact this, and that's just like tangible things. But the actual societal impact he's had is pretty big. So for me, it was just an honor to be able to work with him.
What is the hang like, you know, when the cameras are off? I mean, half the fun I think of this job is, you know, is what happens, you know, off to the side.
Yes, he's a mischievous guy. He's a hard worker. He's always very playful. And so for me, I just love that. He's really easygoing. You think he's this larger than life person, which he is, yet he's approachable and he's personable and makes it very easy. And he just, you know, he fucks around a lot, which is just a lot of fun.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Travis Van Winkle.
So for you, I've heard your story about what you had to train for this and to bodybuild for this. And then him telling you that, what is it? What is it he told you?
So there was one day, so I did a lot of, I had a focused a lot on my nutrition and my physical fitness. And I was in a very strict regimen because I had a couple shirtless scenes. And he pulled me aside one day and he goes, "You're ripped." And it was a moment that I blacked out after that. Like, I don't remember anything that happened for the rest of the season because Arnold Schwarzenegger told me that I was ripped. I've watched Pumping Iron 100 times. You know, I've watched videos of this man grunting, lifting up weights, you know. So it was a magic moment for sure.
Yeah, this is Willie telling you you're really good at smoking weed. It's,
exactly.
It's that kind of things. But I mean, you know, you have to look good, I guess. And you are in amazing shape on this one. That is very obvious. Like, is there a standard? Are you like, I have to look as good as he did in the is that part of it? I mean, what went into, what is your bar that you have to set for something like this?
Well, no one's done it better than him. And so for me, I think it was, for me, it really gave me a lot of motivation to work harder than I've ever worked because I knew that I was going to be around him. And so for me, you know, there's a little bit of like, ooh, I want Arnold's approval. What is he going to think? But more also, I'm very dedicated to my craft. And I think my character needed to also have that. He's an agile guy that is really great at what he does. And so for me, it played into my part as well. So it's a multitude of things, but having, you know, the bodybuilder that everyone will recognize around the world working alongside me, of course, I wanted to get my body in the best shape of its life.
Well, and again, everybody looks incredible. Everybody's hilarious in this, but there is the story and you talk about the hearts of this story. And there is a lot of that. And the way we connect with heroes, you know, we're talking about his movies, you know, of old and stuff like this. But when I look at your biography and you talk about heroes, and I feel like you're probably a bit of a humble guy on this too, but you're doing so much out there beyond this stuff too. Like what you do on the screen and what you do off the screen. What is this I read with Bill Don? Because this finds you around the world. What is Bill Don?
Build On is an organization that builds schools in the redeveloping world and redeveloping countries. And they also have domestic programs where they have an after-school program that kids go through and learn how to be of service in their community. They empower kids to really transform their communities and empower them to be able to take action. And then once these kids do, they take these kids across the world to go build a school in some of the most impoverished nations. It's a service within a service. And on top of that, they have basically a school building program where you and I could get a group of friends together, raise $35,000, and we can go trek to Malawi, live with the community for 2 weeks and build a school together with some incredible humans. And you make great friendships and you sing and you dance and it's all about cultural exchange and you eat under the same roof and sleep under the same roof as them. And it's this really beautiful, enriching experience that really makes you question how you're living your life and why and what you're doing. Like, what am I doing to help? And I think a lot of times we get inundated with ourselves and our stuff and our journey and our success and all the things. And these trips have really, they break you out of that. It's almost like you're making soul deposits. You know, it's very enriching stuff. I encourage anyone to go to buildon.org and check it out for yourself. I've been a global ambassador for them for about 10 years, and I will continue to be.
Yeah. So what drove you to do that? How did you find yourself doing those?
That one came to me, you know, I got into service pretty big around Los Angeles. It, you know, what's really started it, you know, I feel like service can be selfless and also self-serving in a sense. There was a moment in my life where I was really down and I was struggling emotionally and I was struggling to figure out my career. And I actually had a mentor, a teacher recommend I start being of service more. And as I started doing that around Los Angeles, all these other service opportunities started coming my way. And one of my friends asked if I wanted to go build a school. And I've always wanted to do something like that. We just show up somewhere with a hammer and nails. Like, how do you do it? And I ended up getting placed with this organization that curates the most incredible trip. And they're so mindful. And they've been doing this for 30 years now. And so it's I got plugged into this kind of experience that really changed my life. And it's been a goal of mine to introduce it to other people because I know it can change theirs as well. But that has to do with us. When it comes to how many people are going to get a chance to have an education for the first time, get a chance to go to school for the first time. And all of these schools have adult literacy programs. So the adults get a chance to learn to read and write too. And at the beginning of every school building, there's a ceremony and you sign a covenant and all the adults come in. And most of the time they just do their fingerprint because they can't write their own name. And so these schools give the adults a chance to empower themselves as well. And so you're looking at how this can really create generational impact. And so it's a win-win-win for everyone involved.
I don't know anything that could be more enriching than that. It sounds like that anyway. And you were making me think, I think it was when Obama was one of the times he was running for president and he was talking about service. And I think he was trying to do an incentive, like for, you know, every amount of volunteering that you do, you get college credits or, you know, something like that. Not college credits, but you could go towards college. I don't know if it takes incentive. Obviously, it didn't for you. But
however you get into it,
sure,
get into it. You know, yeah. For me, I used to think community service is when you got arrested and were forced to do it. Because I was a knucklehead in college. I got arrested a couple of times and I had to go pick up garbage on the side of the street. I thought that's what community service was. You know, but I think it's whatever your access point, your entry point is, great, get in there.
Well, it's really commendable. And the Big Brother, Big Sister, I know you're part of that as well. And all the things that you do. And I don't know, it's one of those moments where like, I don't know how you have time for all this, but it sure does look great, the pictures anyway.
You know what? It's a great 1-2 punch, I will say, to be able to go and I give everything to every role that I play. I really throw myself in. And I'm incredibly focused and obsessed with this profession, this career, this crap. And so I give everything to it. And then when I'm off of a job or I'm looking for a job, it's such a great resource for me just to go out and give and focus with that same intensity, that same passion on something that actually helps the world. And maybe both help the world, I'm sure. But it's two lanes that I've really dug deep in my life, and they're simultaneously going on. And I really, I'm after doing this now for, I don't know, 15 years, it's become who I am. And so I feel like I'm in a good position to have the best decade of my life. I just turned 40. So I want to keep this going.
I'm right above you. I'll turn 42 actually this year. So I'm not right above you. I had to remember my age on that one, but welcome to your 40s. Here we are.
You know what? It was quite the initiation. I was in Village in Senegal in Saint-Thessine. And they threw me the most incredible celebration. They bring in wrestling is such a part of the Senegalese culture. They brought in a guy from Dakar to wrestle me because I was like, I want to wrestle. And so there was 300 people that really were, you know, the whole community was there. And there is this whole thing that happened. You kind of walk in like you're in basically like you're in your own like Backstreet Boys or NSYNC, and you have your boys behind you and you're like pouring water on your face and it's this whole dance and then you wrestle. And I got to do that for my 40th birthday. And it was such an initiation. It was wild.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like my 40th birthday too. 100%. I had a friend bring me a plant. So,
well, look, there's always 43.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Travis Van Winkle. It is inspiring what you do. And I want to bring that back around to this series with Poop Bar too, because First off, you know, we hit on, you know, a lot of the comedy on here, but I did want to make a point of that to say there are so many cameos in this. I mean, from Scott Thompson, who plays throughout it, and Tom Arnold, who's got this great. And again, like, who's putting
Adam
this together?
Pally.
Right. Yeah, that was the thing. I was like, it's half the Mindy Project is on here, right? I think it's at this point. But like, why was that such a part of it to have such a big roster of comedians?
Well, Arnold loves comedy, and Arnold's really great at comedy. You know, he's definitely, if you look at his track record, he's in every interview, he's always bringing some kind of humor. So it really is a representative of him. He's a reflection of him. And I think I'm excited to see what happens for season two. If we get one, who wants to come jump on the show for cameos, but it's like, who doesn't want to be on a fun Netflix action show with Arnold? Yeah. So, you know, and to be able to work with Scott Thompson, you know, Kids in the Hall.
Kids in the Hall. Oh, yeah.
I got to work with him, you know, quite a few times. We had a blast. It's, that was a moment for me. Just, I had to give him some praise when I met him.
Seeing their revival that they put out, was it last year or something? That was some of my
insane.
Favorite TV.
Yeah. Absolutely absurd. In the best way.
But seeing also that the comedians get to do action, you know, in this, like, that had to be fun for everybody.
Yeah. It's always fun when, you know, I think, what was it, Jumanji? They did it really well when everyone plays kind of against their character. The last iteration with Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart, you know, they're playing opposite of their how they look. And there's humor in that. So it's fun to see.
Well, we can't get out of here without me hitting on the music, because the soundtrack is also fantastic for this series. I mean, what do we start with? Sympathy for the Devil right at the beginning. And I'm thinking, like, is that the best needle drop maybe of all time when you drop that in, you know, a song like that? So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Right. By the way, that's Nick Santora. That's our showrunner. He had all these songs. They were actually written in the scripts, and he fought to have every one of them in the show. He was very specific with every piece of music that was in there. Yep.
I mean, half the time you have an idea for a song, and then you have to come down a few pegs from that song. You know, but it is, it's outstanding. All the songs that are in here, and that budget must have been incredible.
I actually think we came in under budget as well. So
really, yeah. All right, somebody's got some strings they could pull around there. what's your action
Sorry,
movie
I
song?
Cut you off.
No. What's that? You know, I'm just being playful. You know, you have the baseball players; they have their walkout songs. You have the wrestlers; they have their walkout songs. And I feel like if you're in an action movie, you've got like your song that you want to be like saving the world to. You know, if you're doing it, what's going to be on your playlist?
Yeah. So there's a couple songs that I think come to mind. The first one is Whitney Houston. I Will Always Love You.
Okay.
You know, it's counterintuitive. You wouldn't think that would jazz you up, but that just gets me right into this center place where my heart is open and I'm ready. I would probably have to go with a Pearl Jam. This is Not For You.
Pearl Jam right here.
Boom.
Can't really see that. Not For You. I've seen that band maybe 50 something times. So you hit me right there on that.
Dad. Oh, the best.
Did you say front row?
Front row, yeah. Yep, up in Atlanta.
When? Which tour?
This was probably in 2002. So I don't know what tour that would be.
Yeah, that was what, Binaural Riot Act? Riot Act, maybe. I'm thinking right in there. Oh, yeah.
Wow, I can't believe you have that in your arsenal. That's incredible. I'm like, maybe it's 2002? I know the city.
Oh, I could do that one for a while. That's Not For You is a great one, by the way. And you get this great moment in the show. Had you ever sang Gordon Lightfoot before? Because you did, what is it, If You Could Read My Mind, right?
Didn't know who he was, and God rest his soul, he just recently passed away. I had no idea who Gordon Lightfoot was. He was a Canadian treasure, and learning that song was so much fun. And then to perform it with Fortune Feimster, I mean, that was for sure a highlight moment for me of the series. And it's just so ridiculous and so out of the blue, but it's an homage to him and his work. He's definitely, people love him. And so, you know, I'm glad that we get to highlight some of his work as he leaves us.
How do you feel about singing on camera? Did that come easy?
I'm not the best singer, you know, we'll start there. But for me, I'm okay making a fool of myself. So like, I was okay with it. But you know, for me, as long as I train something and as long as I work at something, I'm cool. I'll go for it. You know,
that's a fun moment.
Like Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born, he trained for what, 8 months straight. If I were to have to sing in something, I would take that same approach, and I'm sure I would still be a bit insecure. But I think having, you know, arming yourself with that much practice, and you know, I think that's really empowering. So I'd be down for that.
And Bradley Cooper of the small army that he trained with, one of them, Eddie Vedder, Pearl Jam. So,
you know, when they got inducted into the Hall of Fame, I happened to be just channel surfing and I saw it, and I did not expect to cry. I cried. I'm like, what is happening? Why is this? Why are my eyes leaking?
It was a big moment. It was a big moment.
A lot of respect for Pearl Jam and Eddie Vedder. I mean, yeah. My high school class song of 2000 was Elderly Woman Behind the Counter of a Small Town.
Really? That was your class song?
That was our class song.
All right. That's sure. Why not? Where did you go? Where did you go to school? Like what state?
This was in Georgia. So just south of Atlanta, Peachtree City.
Okay.
McIntosh High School.
I'm actually just trying to hear, you know, the class, you know, well, it's just an odd song for a class song, I think is what I'm getting at.
But it's like, I seem to recognize your face. Mm-hmm. Small. It basically talks about leaving and not changing.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, maybe I need to go back and listen to
you're right on the words. You're right on the words. I guess it was just the tempo that was throwing me off. Like, you know, it's almost like that little waltz that's going on. That's what I couldn't see everybody doing.
The other option that year was the Green Day song. Do you remember it came out in 2000?
Time of Your Life.
Yes.
Let's see.
And every high school chose that. We're like, no. We're going to be a little bit more, you know, original.
No, absolute respect. I graduated in 99 and that was what we did. So yeah, gotcha. No, you did the much better one. That's well done. Travis, I so enjoyed talking with you, and FUBAR is excellent. I really do hope you guys have set it up nicely for a second season. So don't let Netflix let us down on this one. It's
Hey, we'll see what happens. You know, Arnold usually gets what Arnold wants, you know, so we'll see what happens. I just want people to love it. People to watch it. It's a really fun 8 episodes. So thanks for all your compliments, by the way. It's very sweet.
And my thanks to Travis. FUBAR, out now on Netflix. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. You'll get 3 interviews every week sent straight to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover the new ones. And you can do so at all the usual spots, including iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. It's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. An hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots. That's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All 3 of them, the address is at Kyle Meredith. So do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Yeah, well, I'm here to talk to you, not stare at me and see if I have a nose hair coming out. You know what I'm saying?
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.